Oh, snap! Snap!
I don't know what would. I mean, that was just over the top. Oh, loud, was it? Just like bam, bam, bam. Oh, snap. I'm going to have to turn that dog rap down on the next show. Hey, everybody, I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, your host of the Raw Dog Food Truth. And today you are in for a treat, a raw treat. Because today we're going to be talking about how to positively change your dog's behavior by eliminating one thing, right? Just one thing. So before you drop off your dog at the shelter or sentence them to a life of outdoor living in the backyard because of that behavior, you want to learn the raw truth about what you can do to positively change your dog's behavior in a, what? In a snap. That's what I said, in a snap. And today on my show is the wonderful, fabulous, I love this woman, Carrie Solberg, and she's a dog behaviorist and the owner of Canine State of Mind in Parker, Colorado, which is a dog training and boarding facility. Now, here's the thing about Carrie. She's also a graduate of Cesar Millan, who is the dog whisperer. I'm not sure if he's using that brand anymore, but that's how we know him, the dog whisperer. She graduated from his training program that helps dog owners restore and maintain balance and harmony in the home, because that's what we want, right? Carrie understands that there are no bad dogs, no bad dogs, just learned bad behaviors. But Carrie's deep understanding of dog psychology and training methods are allowing dog owners to breathe a sigh of relief and helping dogs to take their rightful place in the home. Isn't that right, Miss Carrie Solberg?
Yes, it is.
Well, what? How are you today, Miss Carrie? I know that you're at your facility there in Parker, and your dogs are napping right now, are they not?
Yes, they've been out playing this morning. They got all of their yummy, delicious raw food for breakfast, and they're down for a nap, so hopefully we'll stay quiet.
Well, if they don't, that's fine, because I think the only people that listen to the show are dog lovers, and they've all got dogs and cats in their home, right? So we love it. We love it. But let's talk about you, your business, and how the heck you got into this dog behavior business in the first place.
Yeah, so I actually started as a foster for a local rescue, and I took about right around 50 dogs in my first year as a foster, and then placed them in homes, and they came with all kinds of different behavior issues. A lot of them were fear-based, so I kind of specialize in dealing with fear and aggression, and I just kind of figured out I had a huge passion for it. About a year after I started fostering, I went out and worked with Caesar, did a workshop with him for about a week, and kind of learned the one piece that was missing for me, which was energy, and then came back and I've registered my LLC and started working with clients, and kind of the rest is history, I guess.
Well, I got to ask you, what it was like working with Caesar. Is he really as awesome as he seems to be on TV?
Yes. There are a lot of skeptics, and truthfully, when I went out there, I was kind of skeptical about, you know, how they portrayed it on TV, about how quick the shift was in the dog. And but it's absolutely true. He is a master of energy, and dogs are energy-based beings, and they are a lot more sensitive to it than we are, because we have language which distracts us from energy. And so yeah, he's a master, and he just kind of has a field around him. So when you're nearby him, you can feel there's a major difference. And it's not just the, you know, celebrity awe. It's actually true. And I've seen it firsthand.
Well, you were telling me a story about when you were in this workshop. One of the things was to take your dog and walk it across the stage. Your dog would not do it, right? Tell us that story. I love that story.
Yeah, yeah. So I was in the middle of figuring out my capability of recognizing energy and dealing with it. And my dog Buddy is kind of a mirror of my emotions, and he also is extremely sensitive to things that are going on around him. And so we were in our tent, and there were probably 10 or 15 dogs that were in the tent, and we were one of the last ones to go. So by the time it was time for us to go up and walk up on the stage, both of us were just a wreck because we were both overwhelmed with the energy that was going on in the room. And when I went to go take Buddy up onto the stage, I went to go. There's two little steps to get up on there, and we went. And I stepped, and then all of a sudden I had extreme resistance on the leash, and Buddy dug his heels in and said he absolutely was not going up on that stage. So I went back and, you know, took a deep breath, as Caesar says to do, to process the energy, and tried my best to let it go, and took another go at it, and Buddy was absolutely not going up those stairs. So Caesar came over, and of course he's, could I try, or could I show you? And I said, oh, well, yes, of course, because hello, it's Caesar. And
right.
He took the leash. Yeah, he took the leash from my hand, reset, took a deep breath, and walked right up the stage with Buddy, no issues at all. And that for me was the moment where I realized that that was the one piece that I was missing. And I figured out how simple it truly is, because we as humans are very complex, and we make things very complicated when they're really not, and when they don't need to be. And that was kind of my switch there. And honestly, it was a night and day difference between me holding the leash and trying to get him to go up, and Caesar taking it and locking him up. It was incredible.
I love that story. And, you know, I think what we see, and we're going to talk about what the one thing that people can eliminate to help change the behavior in their dogs. But I do want to also talk about energy, especially when it comes to the raw diet, Carrie, because what we see is that many people, because of our conditioning, because of our belief systems, began to get a little uptight, a little wound in the wrong way, a little fearful of the bacteria when we start to feed raw dog food. And I hear stories from owners, and I can tell that their energy is greatly affecting the dog's energy and their decision whether they're going to eat the raw dog food or not. What are your thoughts on that? What do you see? Because you feed raw dog food at Canine State of Mind in Parker, Colorado, which is rare. There are many boarding facilities that do not feed a raw diet, whether it is their worry of, I don't know, name it. They have a worry about it. But you've been doing this. You understand it. So raw feeders can rest assured that while their dogs are in your care, that they're going to continue to get to eat the raw food. But what do you see in regards to the energy and the way that dogs respond to a parent's anxiety or fear of something?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said before, dogs are far more sensitive than we are to energy. And honestly, everything in this world is energy. I mean, we have, you know, solid matter things, but when we speak, we're projecting an energy. Our thoughts project an energy from us, our motions, and dogs pick up on those types of things. They're extremely sensitive to that. And so if we're projecting a nervousness about anything in general, but especially the food that we're feeding them, we're projecting that energy onto the food, And we're also projecting it to the dog. So when they're eating it, if we have some type of anxiety about, you know, them being able to digest it, or about, you know, maybe the chicken has salmonella on it, or, you know, maybe there's some other type of bug inside the beef, or, you know, whatever it might be, then we're causing our dogs to be concerned about, you know, what they're eating. And so maybe they won't eat it, or maybe they don't digest it well, or maybe, you know, they might bring it back up because they're not, you know, they don't feel right about eating it. So I've absolutely seen it in, especially in the behavior work that I do, dogs that have really anxious owners will take on the anxiety, and they'll end up on anti-anxiety medicine when in reality they really don't need it. They just need their owner to be a little bit more conscious of their state of mind when they're working with their dog. So,
absolutely. So what you're saying is that the owner should take the dog's anti-anxiety medication instead.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's ways for us to process the energy in a different way, right? I mean, for me, the way that I've figured out how to process any type of negative energy, whether it be anxiety or fear, is to acknowledge the fact that it's there, and then just kind of bring it along with me. Because if I do it scared, or if I do it with the anxiety, but I've let it go and I've not allowed it to rule my decision-making process, then it doesn't have an effect on the scenario as much. So, I mean, you don't necessarily have to take a medicine. I'm all for, you know, doing things holistically and managing your energy yourself. I mean, medicine is there for good short-term remedies to help us get better, but for long-term scenarios, I'm definitely more of the, you know, we have the ability to heal ourselves. And one of those things is absolutely diet-based. And the same thing goes for dogs. They're naturally meant to be balanced. They're naturally meant to be in a positive state of mind. And, you know, they can be healed in simple ways and holistic ways that don't require pills.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I want to talk about the dog's diet here in a second, but I want to go back to this issue with energy, Carrie, because we as human beings many times aren't even aware of our own level of anxiety. We may not be aware of our fears, certainly because of the business that I'm in as a professional motivational leadership speaker and an author around this subject. I understand that it's very difficult for many people to say, I can do something about this. I have the power to reduce my anxiety. I have the power to stop my worry. I have the power to snap out of it. Okay. But they do need steps. People need steps. We need that mentoring. So can you give our listeners today some steps in how to, number one, recognize that you have some anxiety and you have some fear that you could be passing on to the dog? And number two, how do you actually get a handle on it, reduce it, when you're being faced with the same situation over and over again that's causing the anxiety?
Sure. So I think probably the best way to give an example would be maybe talking about working with a dog and like a leash reactive dog, for example, or a lot of people call it leash aggression. You know, a dog sees another dog or a person or a bunny or any type of distraction while they're out on a walk, and the dog goes crazy. And so we try to fix it. And we maybe yank on the leash. Maybe we try to use treats to distract them. Maybe we turn around the other way and walk away, or, you know, there's a long list of things that you can try to do to fix that behavior. But 9 times out of 10, the reason it's not working is because your energy is most likely frustrated, right? Because that's probably one of the most frustrating things on the planet, is taking your dog out for a nice walk and then having it ruined because you ran into a person. So when we talk about things not working and getting frustrated, obviously that's an imbalance in energy, right? And so the fact that it's not working is usually the indicator, the first indicator that that your energy is off in some way, shape, or form. So if you're doing something and it's not turning out the way you want it to be, whether it be with a dog or just in life in general, that's usually my key to look back and say, okay, wait a minute, how's my energy doing? What does it look like? Am I frustrated? Am I irritated? Am I scared? Am I anxious about what's going to happen? All those types of things. Then once you acknowledge whatever it might be, so going back to the dog reference, we're walking on the leash and we get extremely frustrated because, oh my gosh, here comes someone. And now what's going to happen? I just, you know, he's probably going to pop off and go crazy and bark and scare the person away. Well, the first thing to do is that you have to acknowledge that there's an issue. You have to acknowledge the energy that you're feeling. And only when you acknowledge it is it actually going to start passing away. So if you acknowledge it and then you bring it along with you, then there's nothing that it can do to hold you captive anymore. Because the thing about negative energy is that it holds you captive and it stops you from doing whatever it might be, walking the dog, taking a big leap and starting a business, asking a person out on a date, any of those types of things. There's something about negative energy that is actually, it holds us and it stops us from doing what we're doing, what we want to do or what we should do. So if we don't let it do that.
So can I ask you a question? And the difference between taking this energy along with you and reducing it. How do you get from taking it along with you to reducing it? Are you saying that, all right, I'm going to start something new with my dog, or I've got this rowdy dog that, you know, pulls my arm off because I'm taking him down the street and he sees another dog and, you know, I'm about to choke him to death because I have to hold him so tight. So I acknowledge that. I take it along with me. But how is taking it along with me going to help the situation?
Well, there's an interesting thing about energy in that it can, if we move with it, it reduces. So that's why exercise is a great stress reliever, because stress is energy. It's pent-up energy. And if we move, it reduces that energy. So just the sheer fact that you make the choice to step forward in whatever you're doing will reduce the amount that you have. And then the more steps you take, the less the energy will be there, the less intensity of the energy.
So in your business, you deal with aggressive dogs. You deal with, let's just take one that tends to bring an aggressive picture to mind, even though it is not true. It's your logo, pit bulls, right? So let's say you're going to deal with an aggressive pit bull. You've been brought this pit bull. How do you get your energy so that it's not perpetuating this type of behavior and that you can snap him out of that? How do you do that?
Well, practice. So I've got a lot of.
Oh my gosh, Carrie! No way, no way. You know what? This is so funny because I think people, they want to snap their fingers and say, "I've done it once. I don't have to. You know, I don't have to practice. Practice is the key." You just said it. Practice is the key. Doing it over and over and over again, so that it becomes second nature. Yeah, we still have to be aware, but practice in everything that we do is essential. Unfortunately, most humans don't like to practice. Big P, we got to practice. All right, go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, one of my favorite sayings is that practice makes permanent, because it's absolutely true.
Yeah, if you practice bad behavior, you practice good behavior. Either one of those are going to be permanent, you know.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You got to know what you're practicing. All right, so you have practiced getting your energy in a good spot so that you can be free to do the work that brings harmony and balance to the homes of people who might have a rowdy dog who's learned some bad behaviors. Okay, you practice this. Can you kind of internally walk me through this as you're doing it? Let's say you get one of those pit bulls in and they just really start showing their teeth to Carrie. What do you do?
Well, my first go-to before I even address a dog is acknowledging what I'm dealing with. You know, opening a brand new facility, it has been an amazing ride. And it also has provided a lot of opportunity to practice processing stress. imagine that. And so I rarely do I ever go and interact with a dog before I acknowledge whatever is going on with me. I do some meditation is a practice that I really like to use to focus on being present in the moment. Because if I'm not present in the moment, then I'm going to get bit or another dog is going to get bit or what have you. So absolutely step number one is being in the moment.
I like that. I like that a lot. So you're in the moment and then you've acknowledged your fear. And then through practice, you've seen how the dog's behavior has changed and you get some history with that. You get some confidence with that. Would I be correct in saying that?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. Because I see it every day, because I work with dogs, you know, I won't say 24/7, but it's definitely 18/7 at this point. And, you know, that doing that every single day, working a dog through their issues, you know, multiple dogs at a time, it absolutely has given me confidence in through the repetition. And so I know because of all of my past experiences, I know that no matter what the issue is in front of me, we'll find a way to get through it. And every dog is different. I can't do a blanket, you know, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with every single dog, because, you know, they're all going to have their own root of the issue that we're trying to work with. But yeah, the confidence is definitely, I always go back to that.
Yeah, and you know, I love what you do, because millions of animals are dropped off at shelters every year by people who can't, who are unwilling to manage these or bad behaviors, like aggression, destructiveness, you know, excessive barking, all of that sort of thing. And there are many people who are really interested in learning how to deal with these undesirable behaviors. You're a great mentor. Your facility is a wonderful place for people to be able to take their dogs. But there's another thing that researchers are investigating. You and I have talked about this, and this is the role nutrition plays in canine behavior. And you have seen that a dog's diet, believe it or not, alters their temperament and their conduct. Would I be correct in saying that, Carrie?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we don't have concrete research at this point because we're still really early in the process of them doing research. But I personally have seen shifts in dogs that have come, and it correlates so well with humans. I mean, if you think about a kid that is, you know, raised on processed foods that, you know, have artificial colors in them and have gone through the ringer and have chemicals and all that kind of stuff in the foods. And then you look at the child's behavior and the behavior issues that come along with those types of foods. It's very similar to with the dogs, because if we're feeding our dogs chemicals, if we're feeding them preservatives and, you know, artificial dyes and all those types of things, then their body is so focused on processing that through their system that they can't think straight and they make irrational decisions and they can't process the energy like they're meant to be and things like that. So yeah, absolutely. I've seen a difference in a dog's behavior based on their diet.
Now, what else can you tell when you see different animals and you see them come in that maybe are kibble fed on a highly processed food, on a dead food, and then you see one that's on a raw diet, what else do you see or what immediately can you identify as, that's a kibble fed dog and this is a raw fed dog?
I mean, of course, there's the basics. You know, their coat is a lot healthier, shinier. Their energy is a lot peppier, maybe it would be the word that I would say. Not, you know, over anxious, not, you know, over the top, but there's like a lightness to them. And, you know, I mean, it's a simple difference between actually feeding our dogs a processed food that their body really doesn't know how to recognize versus feeding them the natural food that they're supposed to be processing through their bodies. It goes through a lot more fluid. Their health is a lot better. Of course, their poop, because we watch a lot of poop when we're talking about raw food, is much smaller. I mean, I can't tell you the difference between the dogs in my facility that are on a kibble diet that come for boarding versus the ones that are on a raw diet. It's a night and day difference, the amounts and the quality of it as well. So it's been fascinating to me to watch, you know, in such a high volume of dogs, you know, it's not just my personal dogs versus the ones that I've worked with. It's, you know, I have about half of the dogs that are in this facility are on a raw diet and about half are on a kibble diet. And there's just a night and day difference between them.
Now, do you recommend to your folks that you are training their dogs, do you recommend and do you talk to them about a raw diet to help in their behaviors? And how do you approach that subject with your clients?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the approach that I take towards training and behavior modification in general is more of a holistic picture. So I'm not looking just at, okay, what are the symptoms of the problem? I'm looking more, what is the root of the issue? So is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it insecurity? Is it over exuberance and we don't have any boundaries, those types of things? And then on the outside of that, I look at, you know, I look at diet. I look at what is the home environment like? What kind of structure do we have in the dog's life? Are we going for walks? Are they getting any nutritional supplements, any pre or probiotics? Are they, you know, using essential oils or box flower essences? All of those types of things add up to a full picture of, you know, shifting the behavior, shifting the relationship with the owners, and that type of thing. So I definitely talk about it with each and every client that comes in. Highly recommend it. I'm a resource. I'm happy to support them in the shift and change. And I've actually just instigated as well that each dog that comes for a board and train switches to a raw diet while they're with me, so that people at the end of their training program can look at the dog and see the difference between when they first went in to when they're at home. They'll see a dramatic shift, not just in the behavior, but also, like I said before, in the coat, in their teeth, in their overall happiness and wellness, and all, it's just a big picture.
You know, I think that's so important, that transition period from going from a kibble commercial diet into a raw diet, that's a critical time. And I'm so glad that you've got that going on at your facility. We at Raw Dog Food and Company are getting ready to institute a transitioning in-depth program, because what we find is if we lose people during that time, they may never come back to raw, because there are some different things that might happen. You might get some loose stools as the dog's body is beginning to detox. You might have some issues of vomiting. And at that point, when that happens, dog parents start freaking out. right? They're like, oh my gosh, I'm making my dog sick. I've just given them this bacteria laden, you know, raw dog food. And what they don't realize is there is a detox process that must go on. And so we want to get them through that transition process as easily as possible. What is your transition process, Carrie? When you get a dog that comes in and you say, listen, if they're going to stay here at my facility, I'm going to transition them over to the raw. What's your process in doing that?
Yeah, so I switch them right over. I mean, I've been through the process a few times, so I know what to expect, especially when it comes to, you know, dealing with maybe some diarrhea issues or even potentially some vomiting if they're not accustomed to processing the ground bones or the, you know, the new nutrients. But in my experience, trying to do half kibble and half raw, I mean, I never feed them together, but, you know, trying to do a morning feeding of kibble versus an evening feeding of raw, it's a lot simpler and it gets the process done a lot faster if we just switch them over to the raw. Make sure that we put some, you know, extra tripe in there and then also put some yogurt in so that we get some good bacteria growing in their stomachs because, as research has shown, when dogs are on a kibble diet, it changes the pH of their the pH balance of their stomach. And so, you know, it is to be expected that there's going to be some transition time with the new food coming in that the stomach isn't accustomed to processing. So if we set them up for success by, you know, giving them some pre and probiotics, getting them the tripe, which helps balance out their system a lot better, then the transition period really isn't such a nightmare. You know, you might have some loose stools, but typically, you know, I've just transitioned 3 dogs in the last couple of weeks and I haven't had any stool issues at all with them.
Have you had any issues with them going back home and the parents following your instructions regarding a raw diet?
Honestly, no, not at this point. I mean, I've got a pretty great system. You know, I carry your guys' the Raw Dog Food and Company products here at the facility, so I can support them by offering a nice balanced diet that they don't have to stress over if they're getting enough of each ingredient. And you know, I'm kind of a person that when someone comes to me for training purposes, they're part of the family, and I always say that whenever they leave, I say you're a part of the family now, and you absolutely contact me and reach out if you have any questions come up. So. By keeping that communication open, if there are any issues, they usually come and contact me and then I can kind of walk them through and say, oh, I've seen that a million times. Let's try and switch this. And then, you know, they switch it and things are good. So once they see the difference, in their dogs, you know, especially regarding the food and the health difference, it's kind of hard to turn your back on it. You know, I mean, our dogs they're our best friends. They're family members of ours. And for me personally, I want my dogs to be around as much as I possibly can. I want to challenge that expected life, you know, lifetime. And I want to challenge it and get it as many years out of my dogs as I possibly can. And I feel like that's something, you know, typical for most dog owners. And so if we're going to want that from our dogs, then one of the most important choices that we can make for them is giving them a whole raw and supportive diet to keep their health going.
Right, right. And I think it's the correct way to feed raw because what we hear from vets, and rightly so, is that they do have people that come in that say, hey, my dog's been on the raw diet. However, they haven't had the right ratios of the bone, organ, and muscle meat. And what they find is that their dogs are out of balance. So one of the things that you're doing and that we're doing is really helping people understand that a raw diet doesn't mean you go down to the supermarket and you buy a pound of meat, you slap it in their bowl. That's just not enough stuff. That's not balanced.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good nutrition. So if you go into the vet's office and you say, hey, I've been on a raw diet, and the vet's looking at the blood work and saying, this is crap, raw is getting a bad rap. So what we need to understand is how to feed raw correctly, and that is a right ratio of bone, meat, organs, and muscle meat, right? So we've got to get that. And our blends, we make it easy for people, Carrie. We make it really easy in a lot of the blends that we have. And so they don't have to go and blend this stuff up themselves or worry about making mistakes. We've got that in our blends on our site at rawdogfood.com. And you mentioned the tripe. We kind of call that our miracle blend. We love the tripe. It's high in the probiotics. And let me tell you something. This tripe stinks to high heavens. Does it not, Carrie? Pee-wee!
Oh, it absolutely does.
But you know what you got to be thinking? The stinkier, the better. The stinkier, the better. And we have a lot of blends that have the tripe already in it. Our tripe, let me just say this, is different than canned tripe. It's different than bleached tripe, okay? This is unbleached, pure tripe. What is tripe? What is tripe? It's the stomach of the cow, the stomach, right? And so they're getting a lot of good stuff. It's a lot of good stuff that the cows eat. But it's stinky. But it's stinky. But we love it. We love it. And we would suggest that you feed one meal or two meals a week of just that stinky tripe.
Yeah, it's awesome stuff. I like to use it for training purposes. I actually just took some over to a client's house yesterday to teach them some scent work with their dogs, so get them using their nose and building a little bit more relationship with them. And so, it was perfect because it was a nice, super stinky thing for them to. The dog was super excited to go find it and get it out of the bowl, and great engagement opportunity. But yes, it is very, very stinky.
Well, listen, you can positively change your dog's behavior by eliminating one thing. Now, I should have said two things, but I'm going to say one thing, and then I'll do a caveat here. But one thing is eliminate that kibble crap, okay? Kibble crap, that's what I'm telling you. Friends, do not let friends feed kibble, do they, Carrie? They don't.
Mm-mm. That's right, absolutely not.
But what is the other one thing, Carrie, if you said, listen, you can positively change your dog's behavior if you eliminate kibble and you eliminate what? What else would you say?
That's a good question. I would say if you eliminate frustration.
Fear. Okay. Frustration.
Yep.
Powerlessness.
Fear.
Let's just lump that into one big thing. Negative emotions.
Negative energy.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Friends don't let friends have negative energy, Carrie. So I'm going to give you the permission I'm going to give you permission right now, Carrie, to snap me out of it anytime you see fit. You say, listen, Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, I want you to snap out of it right now. Let's just get rid of that negative energy because good things are coming your way. You're going to see new achievable possibilities in your business and in your life. Just a little plug for my new book. But anywho, well, Carrie, I just love you, and you're doing great work. If you want to find out more about Carrie and her work, you can go to caninestateofmind.com. And then if you want to reach Carrie, you just say Carrie@caninestateofmind.com, and that is K-A-R-I. And if you want to learn more about Raw Dog Food, you want to go to Raw Dog Food and Company, rawdogfoodandcompany.com. All right. Well, Carrie, thanks so much. I so appreciate you. What's on the agenda for the dogs for the remainder of the day?
Well, we're going to get out and play. I've got board and train, so we'll get out and work them a little bit, get some social time in, probably some treadmill work for a couple of the dogs, all kinds of fun stuff.
You know what I think you should do? I think you need to set up a human side and a dog side, because I mean they go hand in hand, right? You just get some comfy little caged beds for the humans. We'll get them some good food, and we can just do the training side by side, right?
That idea. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
You will change the world in a big, big way. People and pets, my friend. People and pets. All right, Miss Carrie, thank you so much for being on the show today. And thank all of you.
My pleasure.
For listening every week to The Raw Truth. We're going to help you sort out all of this mumbo-jumbo that's out there. Listen, go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com and check out our Miss page. You're going to love it. You're going to learn something new. And it's just going to be a great time for everybody. All right, we'll see you next week, everybody. Remember, friends, don't let friends feed kibble. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.